I'm an old school zombie takeout. I believe in zombie takeout. I believe it's more than just murderers and rapists down there. I believe in demons and worms and vile zombie takeout, in the grease trap of the zombie takeout. And the more I think about it, the more I think that it's not just someplace down there. Oh no, it's right here with us. We just can't perceive it.
Welcome to episode 191 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And I was wondering if you were going to do that voice all night. And before...
You can go fuck yourself.
Expect that later. And before we get to this week's movie, a little bit of news. Two stories, actually. Quite a bit of news.
Star Wars news.
Both Star Wars related, both from Cinema Blend. First story... Carrie Fisher expects to start filming Star Wars Episode 7 in March or April. While speaking to TV Guide about her upcoming appearance on The Big Bang Theory, Carrie Fisher revealed that she, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford are expecting to start working on J.J. Abrams' Star Wars Episode 7 in March or April. Now, this is the closest thing we've seen to an actual confirmation to Fisher, Hamill, and Ford appearing in Abrams' Star Wars movie, even though the tea leaves have suggested the involvement of the original trio for some time now. The actors have all gone on record to discuss the project. Abrams even reportedly reworked the script recently to put more emphasis on the original characters of Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, and Han Solo to give them one last adventure. As with any Star Wars story, take this, of course, with a grain of salt until it's confirmed. We know that Abrams is aiming Episode 7 for a December 2015 release. He has said that he wants to use practical effects, and he has said that he wants to recapture the vibe of the initial trilogy. And it appears that he wants to hang his hopes on the actors who launched this franchise in the first place.
Like most Star Wars news, I have mixed emotions. On one hand, I think it's fantastic that they're getting one last ride and we're kind of getting a generations for Star Wars kind of thing. On the other hand, isn't it troubling that they're still reworking the script?
Well, actually, I saw another story that I almost put in here before I saw this one, that the script is actually done.
Well, right.
Abrams has said the script is done.
Yeah, but, you know, going into it, we're going to do it about this. No, we're going to do it about that. And then we're going to rework this. And
Well, from what I understand, that was a disagreement between Michael Arndt, the original screenwriter, and Abrams. At least that's the rumor. Arndt wanted it to be The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Abrams wanted it to be One Last Adventure with the originals. I have issues with that. If it's true, for one thing, which we don't know. And also, if it is what we think it is, you know, if it's going to be centered around them, you know, gallivanting around the universe, saving things. I don't want that. I don't think anyone wants Space Cowboys Star Wars style.
No mention of Billy Dee coming back, huh?
Well, it's the original trio. It's, you know, every hero's journey has that trio it centers on.
But Billy Dee?
Yeah.
Lando Calrissian.
He'll probably make an appearance, if they can pay him enough, and which I'm sure isn't much these days.
He should have, like, the wisecracking Hooper X as his sidekick.
But, you know, I like that they're including them in the movie, and I think that's been rumored enough to be pretty believable that they're in the movie. I just would like it to be small supporting roles, you know,
well,
kind of connective tissue. Don't make it about the originals.
Luke would kind of take on the role that Yoda and Obi-Wan had in the originals.
If that's the case, that's great.
You know, he would be the guide.
The rumor suggests that they're going to be the ones doing the action.
I know.
Which is...
That's...
Nobody wants that.
Only if they have Danny Glover as like another Jedi Master going, I think I'm getting too old for this shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in further...
Master Riggs.
Wow. That just veers way too far into comedy. Because Okay, I'm
Mel Gibson is a Sith.
Yeah.
Murtok. Darth Murtok.
Oh, God. Anyway, in further Star Wars news, is Pixar planning its own Star Wars movie? While there aren't many, or really any, concrete details in the report, Latino Review's sources have told them that there is now a plan to further expand the Star Wars universe with a new movie from the studio that brought some of the animated titles of all time. I think that was a typo. There should have been a superlative in there. It's unclear where the project would fit on the timetable of Disney's Star Wars franchise plans, as the site says that a project will take place in the middle of the Venn diagram between Star Wars and a Pixar movie. So
wow.
They're suggesting a Star Wars Pixar movie. I like Pixar. I think they do the better of those 3D animated movies. DreamWorks has done some decent stuff, but you know, Pixar's got The Incredibles and Toy Story and Up and, you know, some of the best stuff out there. So it wouldn't be horrible. I think they would treat the material respectfully.
It depends on what they're doing, what they're covering, though.
True, true.
Now, could you imagine if they did Clone Wars?
Well, there's already been a great Clone Wars animated series, which was done 3D style. And if you haven't seen that, and I'm talking to you, Scott, and the entire audience, please seek that out. It's hit or miss as anything is, but when it's great, it's amazing.
I'm trying to think of how far I made it in that. I think I did the first season, maybe made it into the second one, and then I just haven't looked up.
In the last season or the end of the previous one, I forget which it is, there's an arc that deals with, I want to call him General Krell. It's basically Star Wars Heart of Darkness.
Nice.
It's the best book ever done in the Star Wars universe, I think.
Star Wars, was kind of Heart of Darkness.
No, but I mean, they go there. One of the troopers assassinates his commanding officer at the end.
If you think about the story in general, it's about Anakin, that, you know.
Yeah.
That guy that was out there protecting the galaxy from it, and he wound up becoming
very true.
The very evil he was trying to protect the galaxy from, on a simplistic level.
Back to the Pixar thing. I like Pixar. If they handle it right, if they give them the right story, it could be good.
Why don't they just do the novels?
Yeah, they could do that. If Disney now can get the rights, because they don't own the novels.
Really?
The novels were written with permission. But I don't think they were owned by Lucas.
Isn't that interesting? They spent, what was it, 400? Oh, I'm trying to remember how much they spent. Was it 4 billion?
Mm-hmm.
It was some crazy number they spent. I know it's not in front of me right now, but they spent that much money and they don't have the rights to the novels.
Well, I think those are owned by either the authors or more likely the publishing companies.
Well, they, I'm sure
with permission.
Has a piece.
I think there were some of them that Lucas owns, probably the Thrawn trilogy.
Yeah.
Those were specifically commissioned by Lucas.
Yeah.
And I think there were a few others. But
why not do the Thrawn trilogy?
Well, everybody wants that. That was the big hope for 7, 8, and 9. It was going to be the Thrawn trilogy.
Yeah, but we knew it wasn't. Like, it was said long ago that that wasn't it.
Yeah. It was said early on.
Even before the prequels came out.
Yeah. But, you know, everyone would love to see a movie adaptation of the Thrawn trilogy.
Well, if they handle that, why not, you know? A Pixar version of that.
That could be fun. I don't know if Pixar's ever done really straight drama, but it could be interesting to see them try.
Or even just the X-Wing, some of the X-Wing series.
Yeah. Oh, actually, Thrawn works well, because really a live-action Thrawn would look kind of silly.
Yeah, it would.
Big blue guy would look
kind of... Yeah.
Animated, he could work.
And you know how many motherfuckers out there are going to be like, oh, they're just ripping off Avatar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. This week's movie, which is from, 2012 or 2013, depending on how you look at it. I consider it 2012 because that's when it went to VOD. It went to VOD before theaters, actually.
Oh, okay.
In 2013, it went to theaters. And it is John Dies at the End. And, of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Country Music Radio. It's out there, in the air, even if you don't turn into it.
That gives me the heebie-jeebies. And also brought to you by soy sauce. Come for the sodium. Stay for the multidimensional murderous beings. All right, so we have...
I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, how the fuck do I do this one? Anyway, So we have some college stoner dropouts, from what I understand, after seeing the Netflix synopsis.
They didn't spend any time in class, so it's a fair assumption.
I guess so. I guess so. They are college dropouts. Who knew they even attempted, But anyway, they're at a party when well, you I don't know. Should I go in through the narrative and stuff? Because if they, let me just give it a straightforward plot
Chronological?
synopsis.
You want to go chronological? Okay.
Without, because I mean that'll keep it a lot simpler.
Yeah.
They're at a party and they don't try some drugs actually. He meets a strange, our hero meets a strange Jamaican by the name of Robert Marley, who seems to have a psychic ability. He interprets dreams for beer, and he seems to know everything about our hero. He has some sort of strange drug in a syringe that he gives to our hero. Actually, no, he gets that later. Never mind.
He gets it off of his
That's
sidekick.
right. He gets it off of his sidekick, who got it from the Jamaican. That's right. Wow, this gets really weird. He finds himself back in his apartment. Like, he doesn't remember how he got there. And then turns out that most of the people that were at that party are now dead. And he finds this out, of course, because he gets taken down to police custody himself, where they're of course suspecting him and his friend, who of course is dying himself, by the name of John, of course. Doesn't really die in the end. Kind of dies
In
in
the
the
middle.
beginning to middle, yeah,
Yeah.
but doesn't really go away because, well, he'd been picked up by the police while he was answering a frantic phone call from his friend, who had taken some of these drugs, and it caused him to go into another dimension, or another time, I guess you could say. And
That's hard to explain.
yeah, it is, because he calls him from this other time, or from.
He calls him from the past, but into the future.
Yes, exactly. He calls him several times, so throughout the movie, he is getting phone calls from his friend at a different time, sometimes when he's dead, sometimes when he's sitting right there in front of him, just, But yeah, after he's dead, but he instructs him on how to find him, not dead. So he goes and he does find him. He's in a coma though at the time. He's with his friends, and there's one other person that survived this party, because apparently they all went together, with the exception of our hero, to Robert Marley's apartment to take these drugs, but they all got killed because apparently these beings from another dimension will take a host, and it's sort of like a ticking time bomb, because when they hatch, they will pretty much destroy anybody that is near when they hatch. Am I making sense?
About as much sense as the movie makes.
All right. So they have to go to this mall, because the one survivor, who is of course possessed by these beings, insists that they go there. There's a package for them to pick up there. And
Well,
all
the
hell breaks.
package was not, the survivor didn't know about the package. John had sent that to himself in the past and the future.
That's right. That's right. He was wondering how the parcel, how he got it there. They go to the mall, and that's when, of course, before they go into the mall, their one friend hatches, and it's a nasty fight. Lots of lots of burning, of course. And they get into the mall, and in the mall there is a door to this other dimension that they have to go through. A lovely bit with a severed hand.
Sort of. A phantom limb, effectively.
Right, right. It's you know, an interesting role for a female, finally, in one of these movies. But it could have been more interesting, what I understand, but we'll get into that. And they go through the doorway into this other dimension where... could say hilarity ensues at this point, but there's still just so much more, isn't there? The other dimension, they're expecting them. They're sort of the prophecy that and the two stoners... What's that?
And there's a big reference to Meaning of Life.
There is, isn't there? What, but anyway, it's been foretold that these two will come. I'm not sure... Oh, they're going to show them the way back into our universe.
They brought them over to bring them into our universe so they can invade us.
Exactly. And, of course, that is not how things turn out. Mm-hmm. Hilarity does ensue.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is based on a novel called John Dies at the End by David Wong. The main character in the book/movie is also the author.
Right.
Now, Cascarelli told Entertainment Weekly, "I had been reading zombie fiction, so I ordered these books, and the Amazon robot sent me this email saying, if you like that, you'll love John Dies at the End. And it listed all these things about the book. Literally, when I read the email, I thought, this would make a great movie." and then he read it, fell in love with it, had to make it. Paul Giamatti, who plays Arnie, a reporter that David is telling the whole story to, is also the executive producer. And he called the film an embarrassment of riches and said, "What's going to be tragic is what's going to have to go, because stuff is going to have to go, and it will kill me, whatever goes, because you want it all to be, you want it all to be in there, and you've still got to have this stuffed bag of stuff." He also praised the actors in the film who did a great job. Yeah, I've read the book. Actually, you recommended the movie to me, I'm going to say early last year.
Yeah, I caught this down at the good old Music Box Theater in the north side of Chicago, where, you know, Don Cascarelli had a Q&A, and the man wearing the meat suit just happened to be there too, but he didn't really answer questions, he just kind of waved. And it was a fantastic evening. It was a double feature of this and Bubba Hotep.
Nice. But you very strongly recommended the movie to me. It was on Netflix at the time. I checked it out. Then I had to read the book, or listen to the book to be specific. And they cut about a third of it.
Yeah.
There's about a third right in the middle of the book that was cut. The cut is actually very well done, because it's right after they kill Shitload and right before the ghost door.
I mean, there were big fans of the book at the Q&A, and you could tell some of them were very particular, very defensive of the book. So you know the book has got to be damn good.
And it's a rare case where I think the movie... I won't say it's as good as the book. It can never be.
Right.
But it really holds up on its own, and it's not bad in comparison to the book.
Right. And I've always said, you know, it's always going to be different.
It's always going to be different. And, you know, as a fan of the book, all of the cuts make sense.
I mean, you can't make a four-hour movie like this. Exactly. You know?
The movie, in all seriousness, would probably be about 2.5 hours long.
Oh, really? Because people are thinking like 3 to 5.
I would say 2.5.
Okay.
Nobody wants a 2.5-hour Don Cascarelli movie called John Dies at the End.
Yeah.
That's not going to get made.
I mean, unless you Harry Pottered it, where you actually split it in half, part one and part two.
Again, he wasn't getting that greenlit.
Or, I mean, you really don't want to do what Jackson has done with The Hobbit.
Oh, no.
Stretch it to 3.
Also, there is a scene in that missing third in Vegas that's amazing. But
I've heard stuff, yeah.
That scene alone would have tripled the budget.
We've been like, was Kurok, was the name of the creature? in Vegas?
No, that was before the Kurok stuff. It was
okay.
the girl.
All right.
It was after they kill Shipwreck or Shitload. I switched to American Pie there.
Yeah, I know.
After they kill Shitload, they leave the mall for a while, including a trip to Vegas. And then they come back, and it's the whole ghost tour thing in the rest of the movie.
Well,
and there's a couple of other things they cut. Again, just to streamline it and to make it make sense. There's a demonic version of Dave at one point. And Amy, the one-handed girl, is actually a combination of Amy and a character from the beginning of the book named Jennifer Lopez, who is Dave's girlfriend, and not the famous Jennifer Lopez.
If you have a Robert Marley, you have to have a Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, exactly. She just had the same name like Robert Marley.
Yeah.
Now onto the review proper of the movie, now that I've talked about the book too much.
Yeah.
Also, another thing in the book, the axe riddle at the beginning does pay off.
You know, they were so protective of this book and so defensive of it. There's a question on the IMDb, in fact, a couple of conversations about it, and someone asked him at the Q&A, why did he change the name of the dog?
Oh, right, I did. I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're a normal person.
I didn't just know that from reading the book. I actually had forgotten about that and noticed it again while I was doing research, and it slipped my mind again. Because the name of the dog is kind of irrelevant.
Exactly. Who cares?
And if I recall correctly, it was changed because the original name was female and it was a male dog, if I recall.
Well, that and it was easier to work with the dog when you called it by its name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said to the person in the audience. It was just, I mean, yeah, we could confuse the hell out of it and it's not going to really do what we want it to do. Or we could just call it by its real name. Barkley's a fantastic name anyway.
It's a good name.
Like Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm. Or Charles Barkley.
Right, right.
Now, you mentioned the guy in the meat suit.
Yes.
I gotta say, the meat monster was brilliant.
Yes.
And incredibly well made.
Fucking genius.
Now, the concept, bear in mind, is from the book. I'm talking about just the execution in the movie.
It oh, same here.
Amazingly well done.
Same here. When you have, like, the sausage where the intestines are. Yes. Come on.
And the like turkey that. For the head.
With the turkey for the head, yes. Yes.
Although I did think the monster in John's place, the actual one that they capture, a little cheesy looking.
Oh, yeah. I think
the
a lot of the...
big spider looking thing?
Yeah. In fact, I think that was ripped straight from the thing.
Possibly, yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Now that you mention it. And I loved that the meat monster had the wrong guys.
Oh, yeah. I loved that misdirection in the beginning because you think... the joke is going to be that the psychic that's filling the arenas and stuff is going to be a hack.
Right, right.
You know, they're kind of building up like, you know, he's not the real thing, kind of, you know, I am, you know. Instead, their reaction is, oh, no, he's way out of our league. He's much, how did you mistake him for us? And the whole, like, giving him a phone call.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the model, you know, handling his phone and just... like, wow, yeah, he's good.
All it takes is one sentence.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's the Kurgan.
Hmm. That's what I love. One of among the many things I love about the movie. Paul Giamatti, Clancy Brown, in the same movie.
Oh, yeah.
This is our lucky week.
It is, isn't it?
We're going to pay for this.
Oh, yeah, aren't we?
I suspect in about 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
Now... nitpicky, again, the fake-looking monster in John's apartment, the one they capture.
Yeah.
Also, calling from the past, from the future. Logically, it just doesn't work out.
Of course not.
Because every other time, like with the bratwurst when John is contacting him, John's contacting Dave from the future.
Right.
That makes sense. That can work.
Right.
He knows where Dave was. He can kind of send something back to where he was at that time. But the phone call in the diner... broke my brain a little bit.
Well, there's that, and there is just, how is he back after dying?
The static electricity from the dog.
Okay.
That brought him back to life, because the dog rubbed up against his nose up against him, and you see a static charge go to John's body. It's a whole Frankenstein thing.
How did they have his body?
Well, Shitload knew that he probably wasn't exactly dead.
Shitload took him. All right, okay.
That's where we see the body, is it with Amy and Fred?
That's
After
right,
Shitload had
okay.
kidnapped them.
All right, seeing it twice, I still had never figured that out. I'm like, where the fuck did he come from?
The ambulance took it out of the cop shop.
All
And
right.
then I guess he was in the hospital or the morgue, and then that's where Shitload found him, I guess. They don't really explain how it got from the ambulance to the back of the truck where Shitload had kidnapped them to. Suffice it to say, the story's a little confusing.
Oh, yeah. But that's what's beautiful about
this.
Oh,
absolutely. And again, I gotta really praise Cascarelli for the adaptation.
Yeah.
Because he cut it down by a third, and it still worked, and it still made... I can't say it made sense, but it still flowed well.
He's taken a lot of shit for this.
Yeah.
He's taken a lot of shit.
I think he did the best job he possibly could without making it a $5 billion, 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe someday that movie might be made where somebody does like
I would love to see it.
A part one and a part two
yeah.
of the book itself. You know, why not? You know,
yeah.
End with the trip to Vegas.
Oh, by the way, was it my imagination or did the St. Dom's phone number play Mary Had a Little Lamb?
I think it did. I
you
think
noticed that too. Okay.
There was something musical about it. I couldn't tell what.
I
And
think
of course,
I heard Mary Had a Little Lamb. I wasn't sure.
The, what the hell did they call him in Phantasm? Was it the caretaker? Oh, what the fuck was his name in
The
the
Thin Man.
Phantasm? The Thin Man.
Angus Crumb.
Right. You know, a wonderful little
cameo. Oh, that
was
him. I didn't even catch it. You're right.
As the priest. Yes, I caught that, like, watching it the first time. I was like,
oh, wow.
Of course. He apparently does, like, every single movie he, like, has.
Yeah, he's got cameos in all of Cascarelli's movies.
I forgot what he was. I think he was a doctor in
Yeah, I
Bubba
think so.
Hotep.
In Bubba Hotep, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there is one, and again, I'm nitpicking here. One minor little plot hole. Why doesn't John Warren...
One?
Well, okay. If you go along with the weirdness of the movie, there's only one real plot hole.
Okay.
Because John can see the future, can see all points in time.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he tell Dave not to put the syringe in his pocket?
Well.
I mean, granted, there's no movie if he doesn't, but he warned him not to take the sauce, and he doesn't want Dave on the sauce, but he doesn't
right.
tell him, if you put that needle in your pocket, you're going to stab yourself and end up on the sauce.
Wasn't he not there, though? Or wasn't he unconscious when he put it in his pocket?
He had been communicating with him but prior to that, hadn't he been?
Well, I think he tells him not to take the sauce too
Later.
late, though.
Yeah, you're right. I think he had been communicating with him at before that point, because it wouldn't have struck me otherwise. But okay.
So he tried to communicate that message to him, to not take it, to be careful of it. But he got it too late. Yeah.
Okay, maybe that was intended for when he put the syringe in his pocket. I will say, you know, speaking of that scene when John was unconscious, very nice to see Doug Jones in a role that doesn't involve creature makeup. He was Roger North, the guy who attacked him from the backseat.
Yes.
And shows up later. Every role he's in, practically, aside from this and maybe one or two other things, involves creature makeup.
And I wish they'd had him in there more. In fact, where the hell was he supposed to be from? Was he from the other universe?
They don't really specify that.
No, because he just kind of disappears.
And he shows up again toward the end. When they're to go over to the other universe, he shows up.
That's right, that's right.
So he is either from there, or he knows about it and he's trying to stop them, or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I also thought Dave being choked by the disembodied arm was very Evil Dead.
Of course.
That and the sauce flies.
Now, is it called soy sauce in the book?
Yes.
Okay.
It's always the soy sauce, yeah.
Because I was wondering if they just, you know, called it that because that's what they were actually using as for the effect.
Possibly. I think it was probably something a little thicker.
But
it's actually probably CGI.
If it's from the book, then it's, you know.
It was called soy sauce in the book, though, yeah.
Yeah.
Loved the scene where he interfered with the bullet. Because when you first see him doing it, you have no idea what's happening.
I kind of gathered to where he was going, that he went back in time to fuck with the bullet that was going to shoot him.
You kind of figure he's going to get shot at some point, but you don't know it's going to be that soon.
He sees it on the video camera.
Oh, that's right.
He sees it on the screen, so he knows he's gonna get shot.
You're
He
right.
sees it coming, so then he goes back in time, fucks with the bullet manufacturer.
Or just distracts random guy working on the assembly line.
Right.
A fly ends up in the bullet and stops it from firing correctly.
Yeah.
Or from having any punch. Also, I loved that Marconi had a Russian accent. That was not in the book, I don't think. I don't think there was a reference to his accent. So that was just a choice that either Cascarelli or Clancy Brown made.
Doesn't Clancy Brown have an accent himself, though?
No, he's American.
No?
As far as I know, he's American.
Really? Because everything I've seen him, he's had that weird accent.
He's got a very deep voice, but the only accents I've heard him do are this and Kurgan, if you call that an accent.
That's true. Could not have an accent.
He just kind of did this deep Peter Steele thing with Kurgan.
I've been catching up on Enterprise, and
Okay.
he had a guest spot on that where he had this ridiculous accent.
But I loved that Marconi is Russian.
Yes.
Also, Marconi was a nice touch. The credited inventor of radio.
Yeah.
Not getting into that. Now, did you know what I meant by the meaning of life reference?
I'm trying to think of which part.
When they go over into the other universe.
They go into the other universe. There's the large pictures of them.
Well, no, before that, who are they greeted by?
Oh, is that all the topless women?
Large number of topless women in red bikini bottoms, really reminiscent of Meaning of Life.
That's true. That's the Every Sperm Song, right?
I think so. Or there, I
Yeah.
think that, or it's a random scene in the middle. It's
Oh, Christmas Time in Heaven.
possibly.
I think that's what it is.
It was a bunch of topless women jogging in red bikini bottoms. They were running. You don't remember that scene? I remember
No.
it very clearly. Oh, incidentally, the uniforms worn by the Human Liberation Army were not made for the film. They were actually originally used in Galaxy Quest.
Future zombie takeout movie.
Possibly, yeah. It's been a while since I've seen that one. Might be interesting to
I think
revisit it.
that's definitely one to revisit.
Oh, and in the book, the name of the town is never given. It is referenced on the envelope in the movie. It's Sherwood, Illinois, which doesn't exist. In
No.
the book, it's constantly referred to as Disclosed,
There
giving it kind of this military feel.
are so many towns in this state, though. How are they absolutely sure that there's no Sherwood, Illinois?
Well, it's like Springfield. Well, no, Springfield does exist in a lot of places. Springfield's the opposite. I don't know why I said that.
Springfield's our capital here. I think people don't appreciate how large this damn state is.
Possibly, yeah.
I mean, when we have like stuff go on downstate, like if a tornado happens, my mom will be like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Dude, that's like saying me asking you if a tornado strikes Virginia, if you're okay. It's really that far away."
Because, and you should remember this from before you moved, the perception of everybody outside of Illinois is Illinois or Chicago.
Yeah.
That's all we know.
Oh yeah. But I mean, to take a road trip, like you can drive a good 5 hours and still be in the state. Which is, of course, being from New Jersey, where you drive like more than 2 hours, you
You're
could
in
very well
another
be two
state.
states away
Or more, yeah.
sometimes. Yes. So anyway,
Back to
they say there's no Sherwood, Illinois.
Now, on to the part where they go into the other universe. I loved Rooney's creations. The insectoid plane and, Kurok itself, and then the pig computer. Brilliant ideas, brilliantly visualized. Also, I thought what happened at the end to Arnie was a very nice touch. That I did not see coming. I completely forgot about that twist, and it surprised me even this time.
What the I guess we shouldn't give it or anything away.
But you know what I'm talking about, what happens to Arnie at the end.
I'm trying to remember.
What happened to Arnie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And for such a bizarre story, it's actually refreshingly free of subtext.
Well.
There's no other meaning to this. There's no message.
Yeah, you're right. There is absolutely no messages there.
And for something this weird, you'd think that there is a message, or at least some subtext, something else that they're trying to say. There's nothing.
It's really just a blending of every single genre you could ever have thought of, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, even when we were doing like the preliminary work to this, we were kind of thinking like, well, wait a minute. Are they aliens? Are they demons? Are they zombies?
Right.
It has all of them in it.
Oh, yeah. It's classified as a horror film. It's mostly supernatural fantasy stuff. There are definite sci-fi angles.
Yeah.
The whole alternate universe thing. The orb that shows up to bring them to the second alternate universe. Very sci-fi.
I'm trying to remember the movie that something like that's happened. Oh, yeah, that's Total Evil Dead, you know, help us, and Galaxy Quest.
Now, Netflix was running a bit slow. I stopped it after they were walking out of that universe and supposedly going to become the heroes.
Yeah.
Was there anything after that I missed?
Well, I think they just, you know, they're just kind of doing the jabbering. I don't think they're actually going to come back and save them.
Well, no, that's assumed that they're not coming back.
Like, yeah, we have to go back and get our stuff.
Okay, leaves off there. I didn't miss anything then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Netflix was loading at like 1% a second. I wasn't going to wait.
Oh.
Oh, also, John's full name, John Cheese.
Which I did catch. And, yeah. I saw there was some reference to another writer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the name for Cracked, I think it was.
David Wong is actually Jason Pargan, an editor at Cracked. And John Cheese, real name Mac Lady, is actually the co-writer of John Dies at the End and the sequel, This Book is Full of Spiders.
Okay.
At the end of This Book is Full of Spiders, Wong claims that John demands at least one scene per book in which he ramps something, along with a flat payment for each time I use his name in print.
That almost leads us to our sequels and remakes.
Yeah, are we ready?
I think so.
All right, on to sequels and remakes. There hasn't been a sequel to the movie, but there is a sequel to the book. Full title, This Book is Full of Spiders. Seriously, dude, don't touch it.
And I doubt it's going to happen.
I kind of hope it doesn't, based on the title. One of the other changes or cuts that Cascarelli made, there is a truck-sized spider toward the end in the other universe. I'm glad he cut that.
Because I doubt it'll happen because this movie only grossed $140,000 in the U.S.
Oh, wow. And what did it cost?
I don't know what it cost. That's a good question. But you got to think it cost more, I mean...
Yeah.
Than $120,000. That's
true.
That's a pretty
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nothing. So it lost money. Well, it was put out by Magnet, so you know they don't really go for stuff that's massively commercial.
Then again,
Rubber Hobo with a Shotgun.
You have to wonder how much they got off the video on demand, since that was what they had released it beforehand.
That's where it went first. I think that's where they were making their money.
Yeah.
And it's still on Netflix after almost a year.
Yeah.
So they've got to be getting a regular cut from that. You know, they probably have a deal where they get paid for views or something.
They were thinking that this probably would have gotten, you know, at least $50 million. I mean, that's kind of what, I mean, even the lowest end movies get, especially something like this. But then again, they had the R, but nobody expects to break $1 million at the box office. That's unheard of as far as I know.
Yeah. Okay, it's actually been over a year because it went to VOD on December 27th, 2012.
Yeah.
So it's been just over a year that it's been on, assuming Netflix, because I'm guessing it went there first, or as soon as possible. All right, on to Brains.
On to Brains.
Even though I love the book and I've actually was tempted to listen to it right before this review, like Monday and Tuesday, I resisted. And as much as I love the book, I think he did the best job he could cutting it down to an accessible movie. Well, accessible in terms of time.
Yeah.
And the budget that he was going to get away with. I'm going 5. I loved it.
Yeah, same here. This is just a movie. Just, I mean, sit back and enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't think about it too much.
Well, your brain will explode if you think about it too much. If you
Yeah.
try to actually connect this and make sense out of it, it will just explode. So yeah, five brains, definitely.
And what have we learned?
Not to infringe on this copyright, or you'll receive the wrath of Korok.
And I learned that movies don't have to suck in comparison to the books that they're based on. I think this might be the first time that hasn't happened.
And I'm surprised to hear you say that, honestly.
This is the first I haven't really complained about. Even Kick-Ass, I complained about a couple of scenes that they cut. And
Usually one of those people I have to yell at when they're expecting the book on film.
yeah. Well, I think the difference here, actually, no, the difference is not that I saw the movie first, because I saw Kick-Ass first and Dune first, and I still complained about
Well,
both of them.
Dune, come on.
Well, it's Lynch.
Don't even. I mean, you can't possibly compare that Dune, that cologne, movie commercial with the book.
The book,
Eternity.
All right, so until next week when we'll be reviewing Idiocracy, we'll see if this one gets any better. It scared me the first time. Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, and of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through the next two, Idiocracy in the next one. We got to put that list together soon,
Yeah.
or extend it. You'll also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. We'll get to it. And of course, the recommendations list. There was no doubt this one was going on the recommendations list. You highly recommended it to me at first. I loved it, so it was a given. It was going to be on the rec list. I didn't know if it was going to get two fives, but I knew it was going to be on the rec list. You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, and until next week, always remember and never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
So, I suppose you're wondering why I'm here.
Same as everybody. Trying to figure out what in the name of hell this is going on. Everybody except me. Me, I don't even want to know anymore.
Fisher revealed that she, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, that's
Mark
there's a joke
Hammer.
there.